Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, we are here.
Okay, good evening.
Good evening.
I'm Diana.
And I'm Dean.
And we are D&D, Delivering the Truth in New York State and Beyond. And boy, there's going to be some truths after June 15th, aren't there?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So anyway.
There was a lot going on.
There really is. You know, the first thing I really want to talk about is New York State related. I'm hoping that somebody needs to call in and, like, just be sure that this is all working. I'm hoping we're not having technical problems here.
Technical difficulties?
Yeah, we got a new phone extension here, so we were hoping it's working and everybody can hear us. So New York State today passed through the Assembly. So now it's on to Senate, which means it's basically passed.
Right.
And the session is due to end June 8th, so I think they have maybe six more sessions left. June 8th? Is it June 8th?
Or the 15th? I don't know.
Yeah, something like that.
They got to get their vacation or half a year of work. Yeah.
So they passed the bill for where they're going to trace the adult vaccination status in New York State. You know, I get a girlfriend, and, of course, I mention her every week. Her name is Catherine, and she told me years ago that they would do something like this. And here we are. And, of course, that was another big conspiracy theory.
So what's the next step, according to Catherine?
Yeah, well, what she's saying and what, I mean, if you look at the look at how this is panning out. I mean, what are they going to do? Are they going to say, oh, you're not allowed to have any health care because you don't have your jab or your jabs?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I had a friend today that I talked to, and I haven't talked to them in a while. And they were I don't want to say the business because, I mean, I could, but I won't. They were with an organization and working there, and they worked there for well over 35 years. And they said, well, I took an early retirement. And I'm like, well, why? You know, why would you take an early retirement? And I'm thinking to myself, if you waited 3 years, you would have got a lot more. Well, they wanted them to have the jab. So they offered them a severance pay, and that was it. They were done. And I'm like, are you serious? And they were like, I ain't taking that thing. There's no way. You know, there's just too many people dying of that. And I've attended a few funerals over the last couple of weeks myself. And he was like, there are so many people that are dying from this. And the thing is, with this jab and with this, and Dr. Tenpenny said this a couple of years ago when she first came out, talking about what the effects of this are going to be. At first, it was going to be the heart problems, the heart issues. Well, now, you know, what's it going to be now? Autoimmune issues? Now are people just going to start be dropping? Now it's going to be the wave of people dropping dead of reoccurring cancer? Or, you know, what's it going to be?
Yeah, what was the movie that we saw, the documentary, Died Suddenly?
Yeah.
And that I recommend that everybody watch that. It was 1 hour and 5 minutes, and every minute of it was worth it.
Yeah, I think you'd probably be able to find that, somewhere out there, maybe Rumble or somewhere that doesn't censor things. Maybe I think Died Suddenly has a Telegram group, and of course you could always look at. There's another one I follow on Telegram, and I'll tell you. I want to go to it for a second just so I can make sure I get the name right. But it's called Death Toll MNRA. Hold on, I'll tell you. I don't want to get an email saying you were inaccurate.
And then, going through my Epic Times headlines, the CDC drops bombshell on the vaccinated. So.
I think, what did they say? I think I saw something saying that they could have used something else just to take care of it.
Yeah.
Now, what was it? But anyway, the Telegram group is mRNA Death Toll. I can only watch, and I'll be honest with you, I can only deal with that in small doses because it's literally all the reports, the people that have died from the jab or are having adverse effects. I'll tell you, what was that? I saw that Epoch Times article. They said that it was something that people now are saying, oh, it could have been cured with vitamin C, or which we, you know, they already knew that years ago.
And vitamin D and
Vitamin D, zinc, you know, all the immune building things.
Right.
Yeah. And it's funny because I had to take somebody to a immediate care today. And I was talking to, and it wasn't immediate care, that's not the name of it. I'm not going to say the name of it, but it was one of those walk-in emergency care things. And I got to talking to the girl, and I don't even know how we got on the subject, but the long story short was they tried getting me to take this vaccine, and they were one of the companies that, you know, didn't push it on their employees. And I thought, well, that's good. You know, and she was like, I had cancer 4 times. She goes, if anybody thinks that I'm taking this jab, they're out of their mind.
Mm-hmm.
So then we got to talk a little bit more, and she was very like-minded. You know, and you could see on the top of her head where she didn't have any hair still, where her hair was growing in except for this one patch. And then she went on to tell me that it was, you know, reoccurring brain cancer. She was probably my age, maybe, you know, early 50s. So I said, don't ever get that. You know, I said, you'll be a statistic. If you do. But some of this stuff on this mRNA death toll, I mean, look at these rashes and these adverse effects from this. So, you know, it's out there. It's
right
out there. It's scary. So back to New York with the assembly bill. that they passed. So it's Assembly Bill A7154, and it's basically vaccine reporting for adults.
Yeah, vaccine records,
right.
You know, for adults. Just like kids have the vaccine records so they can go to school, now they're going to start one with an adult.
Yeah.
And what's Catherine's prediction? That unless you're vaccinated, they're not going to give you any health care.
Health care or, you know, your job. So everybody's going to have access to this. It's just going to be like free range. So HIPAA means absolutely nothing anymore, which
right.
was proven during COVID.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, and that was how that conversation got started today, because she asked me. She said, oh, we won't share any of this person's private information out. And I looked right at her. I said, unless it's a vaccine.
Right.
Yeah, and that was how the whole conversation started. So she knew that, you know, I knew something a little different than her average patient. Oh, my God.
So on the radio today, they were talking about the nurses that refused to get the jab, so they lost their jobs. And there was one that had called in, you know, this is WBEN, Conservative Talk Radio.
Uh-huh.
And what she did was she became a traveling nurse, and she works 3 months on, 3 months off in other states. And they put her up, they give her a meal allowance, they, you know, it's all expenses paid. And she's making over $200,000 a year, $90 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And she chooses to work, you know, 3 months on, 3 months off.
Mm-hmm.
And the 3 months that she's on, she's not working here. And she said she'd love to work here again, even at a reduced pay. But they're requiring the jab, and she's not getting it, so, you know, screw them.
Yeah. So, you know, I almost feel bad for Biden. I guess he took a really bad fall at a U.S. Air Force Academy graduation ceremony.
Yeah.
I mean, how many falls is this guy going to take before he breaks his neck? I mean,
yeah, well, and he probably hit his head again, so who knows what's going to be coming out of his mouth.
Oh, I just can't. Yeah, right. Yeah, more babbling stuff. Oh, I know what it was. One of the ones I saw. After injecting the world with an unknown substance, they now discover garlic can cure COVID-19. Well, of course it can. Garlic is a natural antibiotic and natural antiviral.
Plus, if you eat enough garlic, you don't have to worry about the 6-foot distance. Nobody's going to get close to you.
Yeah, exactly. That was a bad joke.
That was original. Come on.
I see our guest is already waiting, but we have more stuff to catch up on before we bring them on.
There they are. Okay.
Yeah. They knew that, you know, we do the first 15, 20 minutes of updates. So what else? I mean, there are so
much. What about the Biden Congress is subpoenaing the director of the FBI, and we've known that the FBI has been politicized for decades.
Huh.
And I guess they've got documents that implicate, you know, the president himself is to taking money from the Chinese and other people, you know, while he was vice president, even though he said he knows, you know, so the Biden crime family, in other words, is alive and kicking. And, yeah, that was some other big news. Let me see.
Yeah.
Oh, the debt ceiling.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, the debt ceiling was
passed. Yeah, your friendly Republicans voted for it.
Yeah. However,
we love McCarthy, don't we?
However, it's the first time in recent memory that although they raised the debt ceiling, they cut spending. So,
well, no, they didn't cut spending. I thought that they were going to keep the spending but do it over a 2-year period.
No,
that, right?
No, they cut spending.
Mm. Well, I mean, you can't spend anymore. How much more are you going to spend?
Yeah,
we're in the trillions of now already.
Yeah, we're up above $30 trillion,
yeah,
and that doesn't include
you
know, the $110 trillion in unfunded mandates.
Right. Yeah. So, and then of course, you know, we have all the illegals now visiting New York State.
Oh yeah.
Putting them up in colleges, and you know, they got a better iPhone than you do.
Yeah, well, I know this one is iPhone X. You
no, not you. I'm just saying all of the listeners, they probably got a better iPhone than you do and better health insurance by now.
So listen to this one that I heard on the news. So Queen Kathy is looking for places to put them. So, you know, they're putting them in dorms because they're going to be empty for the you know, summer. You know, what are they going to do with them come fall when the college kids come back? But this was a good one. I guess there was an empty hangar at one of the airports. So they were going to they were going to put them in there. And, you know, most people think, okay, it's a hangar, it's an airport, it's not being used.
Mm-hmm.
But then it is known for a fact that there are terrorists that are coming through with all these illegals. And mm-hmm. where do terrorists want to go? To the airport.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to be bringing them in. You know, we don't know who the hell they are, what
right.
kind of TB, what kind of diseases they
yeah.
have, nothing.
And are they only going to be allowed 3-ounce bottles of shampoo? I mean.
Yeah, right, right. So and they're going to put them right in the airport. No security checks, no getting fondled by the TSA, none of that
yeah.
fun stuff.
Yeah, none of it. Yep. See that? Oh, my God, it's just too much. So, you know, there are things that we should talk about with Russia and China, but we won't do that tonight. We will talk about it, though, in 2 weeks. When
yep.
Diane Sayre's going to be on again.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, she's got a ton of in update. Diane Sayre's running against Christian Gildebrand, and she'll be on again on the show. But,
against Chucky's
laptop? I want to just talk about next week's show we have on New York Citizens Audit. Unless you're living under a black rock, everybody knows there's probably maybe just a little election fraud. And they're going to be on next week. They have some new findings. But what made me think of that was Mike Pence is going to be announcing his presidential run sometime in Iowa coming week.
Yeah.
So now we got Trump, Biden.
DeSantis. Just on the
Kennedy,
Republican side.
Kennedy.
Yeah, that's a Democrat. Okay.
Yeah, Kennedy. Well, yeah, he's Rhino. Kind of like, I don't know.
A moderate Democrat?
Yeah, because he's very much into anti-vaccine, but he's also very much into pro-environment, so you got to wonder. But, and then we've got
on the Republican side, you got Trump, DeSantis, Nikki Haley, Tim Scott.
Yeah, they won't get
probably there. Pence.
Now, yeah, yikes.
So,
it's going to be fun.
Well, you know, you think about it, in, 2015, there were 14 Republicans running,
mm-hmm.
and Trump came out on top of that one.
Yeah, yeah.
So this time, you know, how many will run? Who knows?
Yeah, so that made me think of, you know, kind of not just the presidential election, but there's some big elections coming up in the fall here
mm-hmm.
in Erie County. You know, I got to try to be nice, and I will, but... So we'll just talk about who our guests are tonight, because I don't want to say too much about who's running for the Erie County legislator and stuff, because, like, you know, whatever. But so we've had this organization on before,
mm-hmm.
The Chickamauga Republican Committee, and, you know, it's a new committee. They've been going at it now for about a year and a half. I would say a year and a half. They can correct me if I'm wrong. And for those of you that don't know that are listening either worldwide or nationwide, Chickamauga is a suburb of Buffalo, New York.
It's also where the greatest bowlers in the country come from.
Right. In fact, well, somebody that was on this committee, her son was just out bowling during that, so that made me think of that.
Yeah,
okay,
you know,
bowling
for dollars, the Chickamauga guys always win.
Yeah, right. So, and they're going to be on tonight. And so there's Eileen, and she's running for town board for Chickamauga.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mike Jasinski.
He's currently a councilman,
right.
and he's running for supervisor.
Yes, and then there may be a couple of other people on the committee that call in. So I want to talk about that, because there are a lot of issues in Chickamauga. In fact, my mom lives there, and her taxes are they are outrageous for, you know, she's got a decent house, but the taxes are just insane. So let's unmute Eileen. Eileen is 906, and Mike is 604.
Okay, he's unmuted too.
Okay, hi, Eileen and Michael, are you there?
Yep.
Hi.
You guys are live.
Hi, guys.
Oh, okay, so I hear some,
glad to be back.
Hi, Mike. How are you? Okay, I hear some
good. How are you guys? Good to be back.
Good, yeah. It's good to have you back. Just so you guys are both aware, it picks up absolutely any background noise that you guys have. So just to make you that aware of that, and also because it is live radio, there is a slight delay.
Okay.
Sounds good.
All right. So tell us – tell us just a little bit about the history of the Cheektowaga Committee, and then tell us how you got involved, and that will bring us to our next commercial, and then we'll come back with the nitty-gritty of everything.
Are you asking me,
Michael,
or are you asking Eileen?
Michael, go ahead.
Yeah, Mike, go ahead.
Okay, so, yeah, we really started getting a lot of serious people in this town coming to the committee because, as myself, we're just tired of the politics, we're tired of the taxes, we're tired of these people running our town to the ground, cheaping it up, smoke shops are popping up everywhere. We're encouraging the wrong kind of business in this town, and I love this town. I know Eileen loves this town. We have a gentleman who's not probably on this line, too, who's running for Erie County legislator, Michael Sahavage. He's a Cheektowagian, and I'm sure he's versed in bowling, as we all are. We're just common sense people that have had it. You know, we're tired of paying these outrageous taxes. You know, we have a county executive that refuses to reimburse us for the blizzard. You're talking like $3 million. And guess who that goes to? It goes on the backs of the taxpayers. Well, I mean, when does it stop? The only way it stops is if we vote the right people in who have the people at mind, We have to have the people's backs of this town. We need to give the power back to the people. We need the people to have a say and just not build these smoke shops and these apartment complexes and just stuff that really is bad business in Cheektowaga. You know, we're a blue-collar town. We're hardworking here, and we're humble people. And, I think it'd be fair to say the majority of the residents in this town are sick and tired of the route it's been on.
Yeah, 100%. And I feel like, you know, there's other towns that are very much hardworking, blue-collar worker towns, too. You know, even when you get out of Erie County, most of the people don't even want what's going on in New York State. And unfortunately, because we're outnumbered, we get the brunt of it. So, Eileen, how would you like to please introduce yourself? It's nice to meet you. Before we go to our first commercial.
Oh, I wanted to, my name's Eileen Ebner, and I'm running for a town board seat in the town of Cheektowaga. I wanted tonight just to say a little bit of good things about the senior center in Cheektowaga and all the bad things you hear. It seems absolutely amazing there. I had a long talk with the director, Kerry, on all the things going on there. So I'd like to share some of that.
Yeah, that would be great.
Go ahead.
Yeah, my mom actually goes there to exercise, and she loves it.
You know, I want to join in, you know, when I go walking there to talk to.
Yeah, no, I'm not quite there yet, but my mom does like it.
They seem to have good music, and they're stepping away. A couple of times I've seen them there.
Yeah, I know. I got her back, and she's made some really good friends there, and she goes to all the little events. And that's the thing. I feel like we've kind of forgotten about, you know, even as a society, we've kind of forgotten about the seniors. You know, we pay so much attention to the kids and everything else that's going on, but, you know, the seniors are the people that have the wisdom. The seniors are the people that, you know, they know what's going on. They've lived their life, you know, and I think there's a certain disrespect when it comes to elders. What's that?
Yeah, they're being
Michael, go ahead.
Yeah, it's a shame. You know, Eileen is a great, person to really be on the senior committee that we're talking about because, you know, we got a lot of seniors in this town. We're an aging population, and sure, we got great services for the seniors, but the problem isn't the services, it's the taxes. Cheektowaga currently leads Erie County in zombie homes, and a great majority of those people are 65 or older, people that are on fixed incomes. You can't constantly raise these people's taxes and push them out of their homes. You know, I get seniors coming up to you, Michael, you know, I can't afford my medicine, I can't afford my taxes, I can't afford my electric bill, and they're just at the, you know, the level where they just don't qualify for any exemptions. So one thing is the first time since 1985 I was able to get voted on to raise the senior tax exemption, and we voted on it again, and we raised it up. So I think we're right about 40,000, and I'd like to get it to the full capacity of 50,000 because, you know, when you're a senior, you should be in cruise control. You know, you should be enjoying your life, not worrying about, you know, our county and town and state taxing these seniors out of their houses. It's just sickening. It's sad. And like when I first started running, I wanted to cap seniors' taxes. At 65 or older, you know, their taxes are capped. I think it's fair, you know. And there, people say, well, the tax burden's going to go back on to the younger crowd. That's not true. The problem is that we have everybody on our town board has zero experience in finances. We do not have to raise the taxes up a dollar in order to do what we need to do. There's plenty of money. Most Americans and people in Cheektowaga have to live with less, so why does government get to live with more?
Yeah, I agree because, you know, I live in West Seneca, and, you know, they've had a balanced budget with no tax increase for 4 years. So, you know, that kind of leads to tell you that perhaps it's in the legislation and the decisions and not, you know, what the people are doing. But that's just my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, we just,
one question I wanted to ask you, Mike.
What's that, Dean?
What are the demographics as far as Democrats to Republican in Cheektowaga? Because, you know, I know Erie County is 2-1, Democrats to Republican. New York State, 2-1. You know, there are some towns that are a little bit more Republican in Erie County. You've got to get to the outskirts. But what is Cheektowaga as far as your demographics?
So Cheektowaga is 3-1 Democrat to Republican, but I see that tide changing. I get people coming up to me all the time, Michael, you know, I'm a Democrat now, but I'm changing my party. Or, Michael, we were Democrats, now we changed our party. You know, this isn't the Kennedy Democrats anymore. These are the Democrats that are so far left that have to pay for their whack job, liberal, extreme pork barrel spending. And they just, the sky's the limit. The people that say they're for the poor and middle class are only pushing them further into poverty by raising their taxes and raising the cost of living. And they're pushing people out of our town. You know, if you drive down Union Road in Cheektowaga, you know, if you paid attention, you'd be surprised. You'd probably come across at least 20 or so properties that are vacant because either the people couldn't afford the taxes. You know, it's just we aren't encouraging the right kind of businesses here. You know, I mean, companies and commercial buildings don't want to, companies don't want to come here because, you know, why would they want to work here in Cheektowaga when they can go in the southern tier or, you know, in the outskirts of Cheektowaga and pay less tax and probably get more revenue. You shouldn't get penalized for making money, and that's what they do. They punish you for making money.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, you said this isn't the Kennedy Democrat. You know, Democrats, if John F. Kennedy were alive today, he would be a right-wing extremist. You know, he believes in a strong defense. He believed in strong borders. He believed in a balanced budget. Even the Republicans don't believe in all that.
Well, that's why they shot him.
Yeah. So, and, you know, you talk about the seniors, and, you know, Western New York is not Boca Raton, where, you know, seniors from Chicago moved to Western New York. You know, they don't just – so the seniors that we've got here are the people that have lived here all their lives. They paid taxes. They're part of the fabric of the community. And, you know, we're just taxing them away.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to move.
Yeah, it's bad. So that's why we need people to get on board.
Yep, and we're going to talk about how we can make that happen a little bit after we come back from our first commercial. So both of you just need to hold on the line. And we got a couple of emails that came in while you guys were talking, too. So we're going to get to those questions, we promise. Just hold on the line. We will be back in 4 minutes. You don't have to do anything. D&D, Delivering the Truth in New York State and Beyond. Hang tight, guys. We'll be back in four.
Now, what do you think of the draft? I think America wants new leadership. New leadership. What kind of leadership do you suggest? I suggest a wizard. A what? A wizard, like Merlin, who could kill his enemies by wishing them dead. That's the way we'd like to beat communism now, by wishing it dead. The manufacturer wants more war orders and lower taxes. Labor wants more consumer products and a 30-hour week. The college boy wants a stronger army and a deferment for himself. The businessman wants a bigger Air Force and a new Cadillac. The housewife wants security and an electric dishwasher. Everybody wants a strong America, and we all want the same man to pay for it. George. Let George do it.
Ah, I disagree with you. I don't want to let George do it.
You must be the exception.
No, I'm George.
Well, that's a hot
one. Everyone wants George to do it.
Except George.
No, everything's gotten so expensive. I'm going to starve.
Official sources say inflation is only up 7% from last year.
But the official index doesn't even count food or gas.
Transitory inflation is good and healthy for the economy.
How is it good to not be able to afford food?
Eating fewer meals per day is better for your health.
How are you going to sit here and tell me not being able to eat food is good for me?
You're out of touch, man.
You can't ignore this problem. Inflation is real, and someone needs to take responsibility.
You're right, man. It's his fault.
You're under arrest for shoplifting.
But we're in California. No!
How is inflation affecting you? Leave your comment below. Please like, share, and subscribe. And if you want to help us make more, donate at patreon.com/freedomtunes. Thank you.
Please check out the Barefoot is Legal radio show right here on Saturdays, 1:30 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time. That is 10:30 a.m. to noon Pacific Time, as we show you all about your barefoot rights and living a barefoot lifestyle. And for more information about the 501c3 nonprofit Barefoot is Legal, please check out barefootislegal.org.
Please check out the Proof Negative radio show Monday through Thursday, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. That is 6 to 9 p.m. on the Pacific Coast, with excellent co-host, outstanding guests, and lots of great conversation. We can even take your calls. The number is 319-527-6208, and just press lucky number 1, and you will be on the Proof Negative radio show.
All right. Tea time, tea and crumpet time. You guys there?
Yep.
Hello?
Eileen's here.
Hello.
Oh, there's Mike.
Okay.
Oh, somebody just raised their hand.
Yeah, we will get to that because I'm not sure who that is. So it looks like they're calling me twice.
Oh, they did.
Yeah, that's okay. When you're thinking about your town, aside from the taxes being high, you know, which goes without saying, kind of, what do you think the biggest issue is in Cheektowaga right now?
Who are you directing that to?
Eileen.
I think the biggest issue in Cheektowaga right now is stop fighting. I think that we should be able to communicate better, get along better with people. It's absolutely amazing how all the people that shown up at the town council, they just want somebody to be nice to them, you know, talk to them, things like that. I feel that maybe if we could calm things down a few levels,
mm-hmm.
that's helpful.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good idea, I think, as in general, in society right now. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it's amazing what some people will say and do, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So, Michael, what's your answer?
Fiscal accountability is a language that the current regime in Cheektowaga doesn't understand. So knowing how to spend the money, we've got a board that has zero experience in financing, engineering, construction, that are making decisions on projects that they don't understand. And the way they get around it is they table it. We're under DEC consent orders to get some projects done. Well, we're going to get in trouble if we don't get these projects done. The problem is that we're a seven-member board. We need to downsize the board to five just on the basis of being indecisive. There's so much indecisive, so much uncertainty because we have a bunch of people that have zero tangible experience in a lot of these fields and a lot of these projects that really have no right to be able to make decisions on million-dollar projects. I remember when we were getting the ARPA funds from, you know, the American Rescue Plan, and it was $25 million. And I'm looking at all these projects that we have on board. And the problem is that we have people on the board that doesn't know what $25 million looks like. They only know it by number, but they don't understand, like, certain projects that take $5 million or $10 million. We got people that do not understand the gravity of these projects and really shouldn't be making these decisions on the betterment of the people of Cheektowaga. So we need people that have tangible skills that can come to the board and make logical, well-educated decisions, and currently we do not have that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I thought that the advisory boards kind of pick up the expertise, and, you know, like you'll have like the sewer advisory board, you know, and these would all be like engineers or people that knew wastewater, and so they could, you know, since the town councilmen can't be experts on all these different things, then you should rely on your advisory boards to have experts on those advisory boards, and then, you know, they do all the work for free and then make recommendations to the town board. Do you guys work like that in your town, Michael?
No, we spend a lot of money on these third-party companies that come in and tell us how to do these projects. We have all our HVAC equipment in the entire town, townwide. We outsource somebody to change the filters on our HVAC equipment. We do not have one town employee that changes the filters to our HVAC equipment. Why is that? It's just some of the things that we do, wasteful spending. So people think, oh, geez, you're going to cut spending, so you're going to cut services. That's absolutely not true. We're going to cut wasteful spending. We're going to be fiscally minded, and we're going to also understand the gravity of some of these projects. That's what we bring to the board. We have myself, we have Eileen, we have Barb Bukowski, we have Vern Thompson, and, you know, Daryl Stahura for the highway. And you know what? We got solutions. We have a plan. We're not just coming in and this isn't going to be on-the-job training. We're going to roll our sleeves up on day one and get to work for the people of Cheektowaga. You know, a lot of things that the current regime has done, they've learned on the job. You know, I mean, I have no problem with people working and having a job and stuff like that, but the problem is the people that are making decisions in our town and how we're spending our money are don't understand, you know, the logistics of spending that money. They just rubber stamp it. Sounds like a good idea, so I'll rubber stamp it. Instead of questioning it and getting into the meat of it and really want to know the heart and what takes it to beat for some of these projects. I just can't believe some of these projects that happen in the town. And, you know, we got a code enforcement officer that approves this site plan, and we didn't even discuss about the funding for pump stations, of how to handle the infrastructure. You know, we need somebody who understands infrastructure. My background, I've got over 10 years in infrastructure. I'm a mechanical engineer. I've been doing that work for over 30 years. I do P&L, financing. I know what the numbers look like. I know what they represent. And we need somebody with that type of experience running our town, like a business. I'm not going in there for any patronage or giving any patronage jobs. I don't know anybody. So I come in clean. My team has no baggage. We come in. We've got two military, retired military nurses, and we have a fabulous guy called Vern Thompson that we're going to be the solution. We're going to be the change that the people of Cheektowaga not only want but desperately deserve. They deserve change. The time is up. This current people who have been on this board have ample time. There's been people who have been on this board for over 12 years. And what has happened in those 12 years? Taxes have gone up. Our police force have been compromised. We got more smoke shops now in the town of Cheektowaga than North Buffalo. I mean, what are we doing here? We need people to be able to make logical decisions. I know I want my grandson walking down Union Road or William Street and seeing these smoke shops and saying, what is that? What example are we setting for these kids? Another thing is some of our departments in our town, they can't meet the requirement for employees. Why not bring a program to the schools to teach these children and have them workforce ready to work in this town, go to school in this town, work in this town, live in this town, retire in this town? But the current protectal we're on, the current path we're on, it's not possible. People are like, the hell with it. Why would I want to live in Cheektowaga and spend all this money on taxes when, I could live in another state or another town or somewhere else where I'm going to pay a third the taxes, have the same amount of amenities, have the same amount of services? So we need to be mindful of our seniors. We need to be mindful of our military, and we need to be mindful of the people of Cheektowaga because, we need to do what's best for everybody, not rubber stamp everything like the current regime has done.
Yeah.
Hey, Mike, have you figured out whose cousin is the guy that's going around and changing all those air filters?
Who's doing it?
Whose cousin?
Oh, whose cousin? I see what you mean. They outsource it.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
The
they
best
outsource
part is,
it. So they outsource it to somebody's cousin, probably, right? Isn't that the way things usually work?
It's ridiculous. Just wasteful spending. See, people think that we have to cut services and if we cut taxes, we're cutting services. That's not true. We need to train our people in Cheektowaga who work for these departments, the highway, the sanitation, the sewer. We need to have continued training. My biggest thing is safety. We never had a comprehensive safety training plan in this town. It took me to unravel it. Per our insurance policy, there's 30 different training modules that are offered by rights that are our town employees. No one knew about it. It took me to uncover it. Not only did it take me to uncover it, it took me to bring it to fruition. So the first time we've actually had town employees that are getting their OSHA certifications, because my feeling is no matter the circumstances, people deserve to go home safe at the end of the day. We need to raise the morale in this town, get people excited to work in this town. Why would I want to work in highway? Why would I want to work in sewer when I can work at Mighty Taco and make $18 an hour and probably get a discounted or free meal? Why would I want to get dirty and get in the sewer and stuff? We have the money in our current spending to be able to offer a better lifestyle, a better way of living, a better salary. We have the ability to do that, but we have to have the right people that understand the logistics, the math that it takes in order to just shuffle money from here to there, find out where we're spending money wastefully and say, listen, this, it doesn't look right. We need to take the money from this program, move it over here. We just need to be methodical. And right now, instead of doing that, we raise taxes. And I know people, I'm so sick and tired of hearing about taxes. Well, you know what? Raising taxes is doing one thing, and it's pushing our population not only out of this town, but it's also pushing them further into poverty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep, I agree 100%. I'm retired, and half of what I make goes to property taxes, half. And I was talking to a guy that is running for town council in my town. He's paying $17,000 a year in property taxes.
Oh, yeah. There's places in Orchard Park that owe that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, there's no way. There's, you know, my property taxes, and I don't live in Cheektowaga, but I live in another town in Erie County, have gone up 364% in 34 years. You know, that is ridiculous.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I went up.
My taxes have gone up significantly, too.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to see if we can take a breather here and see if we could bring this caller on that has their hand up. Area code 716-310, you're live.
Good evening, folks. Thank you for taking my call. Hello, Eileen and Michael, your fellow Republican committee member here, Michael Zahavich, calling in. Can you hear me?
Hello, Michael. Yes, welcome to the show.
Yes, can you hear me? Well, thank you so much.
It's
a pleasure speaking with you folks. Great. Yes, you know, common sense, as Michael said, this is really what we need to bring at every level of government. People want their neighborhoods safe. People want law enforcement funded. Of course, these taxes, we need to lower them. We've had, at the county level, surpluses of, what, $172 million, I think $174 million, then $92 million, and yet the county executive wants to borrow more money. I mean, let us, thanks to the fiscal responsibility of the led by the Republican minority, we've had these surpluses. Currently, there's 7 Democrats, 4 Republicans. And as Mike was pointing out, whether at the Cheektowaga town level or at the county level, many of them just rubber stamp whatever the current county executive wants to do. So if we can flip a couple seats, we can certainly address issues like that. But, you know, something in addition to, of course, everybody wants lower taxes, we want to save neighborhoods and so forth, there's something bigger at stake. This far-left ideology, it's methodically thought out, and they know that they need to infiltrate at every level of government. You know, are we still connected, by the way? I know I've been rambling for about a minute or so. You still hear me?
Oh, yeah.
Yep,
right, Mike.
Going.
All right. Okay, a little bit of a delay there. In a recent, Chairman Michael Crocker hosts these monthly roundtables, and it's an excellent opportunity to meet some of our local lawmakers. We have some of the state assemblymen, state senators talking about the situation at Albany. And they are well aware of what these far leftists are doing. Of course, we see on national news, not only at the national level, state level, people might think, well, that doesn't apply to us at the local level. It's coming down the turnpike, folks. People in Albany, they see the radical left agenda that's being pushed. And again, it's not just a few individuals. This is well thought out. And they've caught us off guard in recent years because this has been part of a plan that's been brewing for decades. And, you know, we don't need a formulated manifesto to live what I'd call just a normal life, family-oriented, free market economy. We don't need to have that formulated. That's the natural flow of things. If you want to bring in something that's revolutionary that uproots all this, then you have to have this well-formulated theory. And this is exactly what these neo-Marxists, for a lack of a better term, but I'll call them that, because they embrace these Marxist tactics. They may not be card-carrying members of the Socialist Party of America or whatever, but they're embracing the same ideology. And they know they need big government. They need to push these leftist agendas. And as we were talking about earlier, the demographics in Cheektowaga, here, right now it's 3-1 Democrats to Republican. But as we said, most of these folks are Truman and JFK type of Democrats, you know, staunch, patriotic, law-abiding, anti-communist people that, there used to be slight differences between Republicans and Democrats. Maybe a little disagreement about a certain fiscal policy or whatever, but for the most part, we were on the same team, all patriotic, all believed in basic ethics and civics and rudimentary morality. But in this highly secularized society pushed by this radical left, this is what's at stake. I think a lot of the folks in Cheektowaga, they may still be registered Democrats, but they're leaning, they're certainly conservative-minded, And I think we have a real chance of just bringing that common sense change into Cheektowaga, whether it be at the county level, as I hope to be part of, or those at the town level. Thank you for letting me ramble on there for a couple of minutes, but it's a pleasure to be on the show.
Can I say fill up on what Mike said?
Please, jump in.
Diane, can I tail off of what Michael was saying?
Of course, sure. Yep, go ahead.
Yes, Mike's absolutely right. So my opponent is a registered American Socialist. So he's registered with American Socialists. He's publicly spoken out in raising taxes. I heard through the grapevine that he was considering if elected that he would cut overtime from the police just like they have in the city of Buffalo. So this is absolutely right. It's a natural flow. We want to raise our families. We want to, worship, whatever religion we have. We just want to be peaceful people. That's why everybody comes to our area in America, is to escape, these war-struck nations. So these socialists that live here in Cheektowaga, my opponent, he doesn't realize what the Polish people went through. Like when Russia was trying to take over Poland, and look what's going on with the Ukraine. So, if people want a socialistic life, then they need to move to Russia, because, this is America. You should be able to do what you want in the privacy of your own home. We need to stop taking people's rights away, and the freedom of speech and the freedom to choose only fits their narrative. And the problem is that most people in Cheektowaga are Polish, and we're humble people, we're hardworking, we're loyal to our families, and now we have people that on our town board have this extreme ideology that, in order to support their ideology, they want to raise taxes, they want to weaken the police force. I mean, if this happens, before it, we're going to have people protesting down Union Road and spray painting and putting tear gas. It's going to be like they did in Minnesota and Baltimore. And you know what? We don't need that here in our town. We have a very simple standard: be a good neighbor, and do your debt to society, and be a good person and honor your neighbor. And that's all we want. We're very humble people. We just want what's right, and to ask that is not anything out of the ordinary. We just want to have common life. We want to raise our families, but the problem is they're not teaching this stuff in school. What are we doing in our schools? Have children that aren't workforce ready. Well, why aren't we putting programs in our schools? Well, that's what I propose. If elected, I propose to the schools that we're going to bring these programs to the schools that for these positions in the town and in the area and the trades, we need to bring it back to the schools and teach our children how to work. The problem is we have a generation of children that if they can't Google it, they're not going to be able to do it, and that's a big problem.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I taught, I called it remedial math at a community college, and this was for the kids, I call it kids, or the people that didn't pass the math entrance exam. So they let them in anyway, but they had to take remedial math with, Professor Dean. Well, I'll never forget it. There was one girl in the class that she could not add, subtract, and multiply and divide without a calculator. And that was just,
right.
When I went to college for 2 years, when I went to college, because I'm old as dirt, and
you said it this time, I didn't.
Yeah, right. I mean, the first 2 years, we weren't allowed to have calculators because only the rich kids could get calculators. We had to use a slide rule. And before that, it was pencil and paper,
Or your fingers.
No, not with the big numbers. Not with the big numbers. But,
right.
I wouldn't, and I asked her, I said, how did you get through school? She goes, what about your homework and stuff? She goes, oh, my mom did it for me. Well, mom, you weren't doing your daughter any favors. So I wouldn't let them, my goal was just to let them learn numbers. you know, and how numbers work.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know,
they don't exchange money. They don't exchange money.
They don't know how to without using that, without looking at a register. That if I, like, I'll go into Wegmans or whatever and I say, okay, my bill comes to, you know, 1926, and I'll say to them, I'll give you the 26 cents. And they'll look at you like you got three eyes. Well, it's because I want a dollar.
Right.
Do you not understand what I'm doing here? You know, like, quick change artists would really have a good time in today's day and age.
or you know, $3.62, so you give them 12 cents. So, you know, as a guy, you know, we don't have purses. You got all this stuff weighing you down. Maybe that's why the guys have their pants halfway down their butts, because they got so much change in their pockets that it pulls their pants down. Yeah, that's what it is. Okay, but anyway,
but why,
so you give them 12 cents so you can get 50 cents back.
Right, they don't
get it. And they don't get it. And I'm just like, just running through the machine. You'll see.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, while they can't add double-digit numbers, they know about critical race theory, or they're being taught about that and how horrible America is with its stained past. You know, there's no installation of American exceptionalism. There's no talk of Western civilization greatness. You know, all the great Greco-Roman Judeo-Christian tradition that built this, that built great civilizations that we live in. This is exactly what I'm talking about. Not to sound like an alarmist, but this is true. Ever since, I'm a history buff, so forgive me for making all these historical references, but since the French Revolution and then all the Marxist-led initiatives in Europe leading up to the Russian Revolution and beyond, it's antithetical to that tradition which I just mentioned, which is just part of essential America. They need to uproot society. So they have to teach a revisionist history, basically erase history, do reinventings with this gender ideology. I mean, there's so much to be said. And like I said, people might say, well, what does this have to do with a county legislator race or a town board race? Well, it's all connected because these people need to infiltrate every strata of society gradually, of course. And we need to also, besides being leaders as elected officials, we need to be inspirers. Those that inspire parents to say, even though they're wrapped up in working 9 to 5 and supporting families and all that, they need to be vocal. We need to inspire them to be vocal at the local school boards, at whatever functions they can be. I mean, this is a civilizational struggle. It really is. I don't think I'm exaggerating when I'm talking about this.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm pretty much Eileen doesn't remember LGBTQ being a celebrated for a whole month. Is that right, Eileen?
Oh, it has been celebrated for a whole month around here.
We're talking about a long time ago. There was no such thing. So.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
no,
I remember when.
And I keep having to ask my son, what do all these initials mean? I don't even get it.
Right.
After LGBTQ, I'm lost.
I think where society has failed is we can beg to differ. We don't hate people. I mean, people, you walk out in the street, you walk out in your house, in front of your house, most people are neighborly. You know, what you do in the privacy of your own home, who you choose to worship, who you choose to sleep with, that's your privacy. That's your business. It really doesn't – it's none of my business what you do in your private life. So
the problem, Michael, is they're bringing it into the public square and mandating that if we don't embrace that lifestyle choice, that we are haters and anti-this and whatever Christian spirit of loving the sinner and hate the sin. We're all sinners. I mean, I'm sorry. I embrace my Catholic Christian faith, and this has nothing to do with separation of church and state. It's about living my faith in my daily life. And, you know, show me an example of any secular atheist society, such as we've seen, whether it be the Soviet Union or in China. You know, all you get is what? Poverty, just disregard for the individual, just the chanting of the government to be your God. And, I mean, we could go on and on. Secular atheist societies have brought civilization. So I'm proud to be a Christian embracing the Western intellectual tradition. And you know, that means being strong in faith, strong in our families, believing in freedom and authentic freedom, not the license. You know, if I may, remind ourselves of John Paul II. He said, freedom is not doing what you want, but having the right to do what you ought. And we've lost the sense of what is right, true, good, and beautiful. We've embraced this
role. Yeah, I'll agree with that in some sense. But we have to get to our second commercial. So Michael and Eileen, when we get back, I want you guys to answer some of the emails that have been sent in to us during the show. Sound good?
All righty.
Okay.
Wonderful.
Perfect.
All right. Okay, so D&D, Delivering the Truth in New York State and Beyond. In 4 minutes, we'll be back. I'll hang tight.
Radio listeners, you all know that the reason for global cooling is global warming. Well, we here at Lake Havasu Snow Removal want to remind everyone that we can plow your driveway or street 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. We are available in the Lake Havasu, Phoenix, and soon-to-be Tucson areas in the cold Arizona desert. So, if your driveway is backed up in the middle of April or in the frozen tundra season of August, please call 855-NO-AZ-SNOW today. Any time of day, any time of night, Lake Havasu Snow Removal will clear your driveway in freezing cold tundra of Arizona. Thank you.
I'm excited. I haven't been at McDonald's for the last 20 years. I wonder what changed.
Oh my God!
Oh my Lord, what happened in here? What's up? I'd like to order a Big Mac menu and two cheeseburgers if possible. What the fuck is these farting noises? Oh my God, what is this shithole? This guy is brain damaged.
Seems like you haven't put a step here in a while. This McDonald's is only for the fat guys. You need to have over 35 body mass index. This mean you have to be in severe obesity. You get a special member's card.
And what are you doing in this place then? You are not fat.
I'm ordering for my fat uncle. He is like a 40. He can't even step out of his bed anymore. But come with me, let's order at the self-service terminals. I can pick for you and show you how it works. Here is the kiosk. You can only choose between three different menus.
Wait, what the? Monster Mac menu, 7 stairs burger, 4 liters of Coke, 500 grams of fries. Quarter nuke menu, quadruple pounder, 2 times 5 liters jerry cans and 1 kilogram of fries. Bro, this ain't possible. Eating these menus will give you a free ticket to the hospital.
Yep, but don't forget this is a fat-only place restaurant. These guys are crazy. My uncle's favorite is the mega cheesy menu. This one's crazy mate. 2 giant burgers and some cheesy cheese fries.
Okay, let's order the Monster Mac menu. At least it's possible to finish. $99, this is ridiculous. The inflation gone crazy. Okay, let's click next.
Welcome to the sides.
100 nuggets box, 25 chicken wings, 35 cheesy rolls, 200 mini meatballs. Oh my Lord, man. This is mad. If people were to see this in 2022, they would have gone super crazy.
Yes, for sure. I wonder what YouTube comments they would have wrote. Lol.
Let me take the chicken wings. This is the best in my opinion.
Welcome to the ice creams. That's the last step. This is also mad, but the best one is the double nuking cream. This one obliterates your day, but it's delicious.
Okay, let's go for that. $276, are you kidding? This is 5% of my wage already. I'm not going to eat here anytime soon again.
I don't think so. You haven't tasted yet. You will see, mate.
Here is your meal, sir. Have a nice one and don't forget to rate 5 stars.
Oh my God. This is impossible.
Do not worry, brother. You will succeed. Just don't think about it. Eating is so damn nice. Trust me and give it a go.
Finally, the day is finished. I will enjoy my quarter nuke menu.
Wait, Wajak, Is that you, bro?
I'd like to call to order this secret conclave of America's media empires. We are here to come up with the next phony baloney crisis to put Americans back where they belong, in dark rooms glued to their televisions too terrified to skip the commercials.
Well, I think...
NBC, you are here to listen and not speak. I think we should go with a good old-fashioned public health scare.
A new disease. No one's immune. It's like the summer of the shark, except instead of a shark, it's an epidemic. And instead of summer, it's all the time.
Now, I hate to be the guy who derails what everybody else loves.
He loves being that guy.
But, Janice, we do have standards. This can't be a made-up disease. The only moral thing to do is release a deadly virus into the general public.
We do have something we've been holding on to, but it hasn't been tested. Get over here, NBC.
Well, we certainly believe in testing, but I... Wow.
So, we've got our deadly disease. Now, we just have to blame it on something that's in every household, something that people are a little bit afraid of already. House cat flu is coming, people. The Center for Disease Disinformation predicts with some degree of probability that the house cat flu might spread in the following hypothetical outbreak pattern. So, petter beware that...
Unmute him.
Got him. All right, we're back, guys.
I'm unmuting you guys as we speak.
Uh-oh.
There we go. You should be on now.
Okay.
Great to be back.
Okay.
But anyway, back to what Mike was talking about. I've got an article from 1958, and it was like how to take over America. And the number one thing in the article was take over the schools. And, you know, this was how to make America a communist country. So take over the schools. And, you know, these people, they're you know, they've got a lot of patience. I mean, 1958 was, 60 years ago, 60-some years ago. So they've been working on this for a long time. I read another article, you know, probably 5-10 years ago. It said, 98% of all educators, and this is kindergarten through college, were liberals. You know, so, my dad always called Harvard Communist U because everybody he knew that came out of there was a communist. So anyway, Diana, you've got some emails. People wanted to ask you guys some questions.
Okay. So, Michelle. This is so ironic. I mean, how many Michaels are there, realistically, that are that live in Cheektowaga? But I'm a Michael from Cheektowaga, and I know it wasn't either of you guys that sent this. Sen says, I've been a resident for 40 years in Cheektowaga, and I'd like to know how we can address the increasing crime.
Well, the last thing we need to do is...
Michael
addressed it. He's a town councilman. Yashinsky addressed that. He's a town councilman.
Well, the thing is that we're not teaching our children how to be citizens in this town. I really just, this past shooting in Town Park, it was a 15-year-old child. I think we're miserably failing our youth. And in order to curb crime, you know, it's really not a police issue. It goes further than that. We have a school system that is failing our youth. People say, well, it starts at home. There's some truth about that, but that's not absolutely 100% the truth, because maybe they're getting wrong guidance from home, but, you know, they're also getting wrong guidance from schools. So what we're doing is we're teaching children indoctrination. We're teaching children dependency instead of sustainability. We're not teaching children how to diffuse situations. We're teaching children that, it's okay to, dislike each other, and if we don't like each other, we have to fight about it and stuff. When I was young, we fought as kids too, but not on the level that it's going on now. So I really think a majority of the crime, starts with teaching our children how to be good citizens in this world. I've always said, if they taught in school how to be millionaires, guess what? Cheektowaga would have more millionaires, wouldn't they? So You know, we really need to get back to basics. Children don't know how to sign their name. They don't know cursive. You know, if they, like I said, if they can't Google it, they don't know how to do it. So, you know, with more police force and stuff like that, that's a reactive measure. Police are reactive.
Correct.
You know, yes, they'll show force and stuff, but usually when the police get involved, it's already gone awry. It's already a bad situation. So what we need to do is we need men to be men. And what I mean by that is fathers. We need to get back to men treating women right and treating them and upholding women. We need fathers to be fathers, you know, because we have men and women that have babies, and then we have men and women that have children. And instead of just spitting out children and not taking care of them, and then when stuff happens, they're like, oh, my God, they need somebody to blame. So who do you blame? Well, it's not just the police thing. It's a societal thing, and it's a relationship. You know, they say it takes a town to raise a child. I absolutely believe that. But, you know, a child spends a large majority of its life in schools. So if we teach children, you know, good skills, how to handle conflict. We're not teaching children how to handle conflict. That's the thing. Not everybody wins. I hate to say it. And, hey, living here in Buffalo, you know, you should know what it's like to lose, being a Bills fan or Sabres fan. So, you know, losing isn't always a bad thing. Now you know what not to do. So we need to teach children coping skills, how to diffuse things, be diplomatic, diffusing situations, you know, because a child is going to be a child, you know. Hey, if I'm picked on by 3 and 4 people, I'm either going to, you know, run home crying, or I'm going to fight you, you know, and that's the problem, you know. You know, they try to say bullies, bullies, bullies. Well, unfortunately, there's always going to be that, you know. You know, there's always going to be a fashion show in school. Who has the nicer sneakers, who has the name brand clothing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, personally, I think that, you know, there should be a certain dress code for children in school, you know, because then it's not competition. You can focus on your education instead of who's got the nicer sneakers. And, you know, children will say, geez, no, I'm envious. You know, I'm going to take those sneakers from that kid, or I want those sneakers, or go home, Mom, how come I can't have those sneakers, but somebody else can? You know, I know what that's like growing up poor. I grew up poor. I was an inner city child. I saw a lot of rough things in my life, but it taught me things what not to do. And that's what the thing is. You know, we have these educators that are just not giving a crap about it. They're just going through the motions. They're doing what the state mandates them to do. And if these children don't follow along and watch, they get left behind. I mean, you know, some of the stuff they teach in school, it would bore me. So we need to get children more involved in how to be, you know, better citizens. How do I want to pursue the American dream? What's the American dream? Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's what America is. And every child should be able to have that opportunity. And if we don't set these children up the right way, they're just going to be repeat offenders. They're going to be the next generation of you know, robbing stores or gangbangers or, you know, just, you know, people that are breaking the law. And if we don't start teaching these children in the school systems, it's never going to end. You know, we're reactive instead of proactive. We need proactive measures to slow this crime, because I tell you, 20, 30 years ago, you wouldn't have seen this in Cheektowaga, some of the crime that's been going on and the killings and shootings and stuff. This wouldn't have been heard of. So, you know, they try to blame people and stuff like that. But you know what? These people came probably from an environment that wasn't conducive to good behavior, whether it was in schools or the homes. And, you know, these people are professionals. You know, they're so quick to diagnose you and say you got this or that or this symptom, or, you know, you got ADHD, or, you know, you don't pay attention in class. But, you know, instead of trying to label people and try to diagnose them, sometimes these people need to bring themselves to the children's level and really intimate with some of these children and try to figure out what they need to do to turn these children into an upstanding person in their society.
Yeah. Yeah, I love how you said that, because they do. They just stick labels on these kids, and then they want to give them drugs, and, you know, they're not addressing what the real issue there, and that's so true. And so,
you know, and personally, I think part of the problem with all these killings is, especially by the young kids, is, you know, the video games are so realistic. And I met a guy probably 30 years ago. He was from New Zealand. And he was taking time off, you know, just cruising around the U.S. He was a limo driver at the time that I met him. He was giving me a ride. And but he was a former sniper for the New Zealand Army. And he said the biggest advantage that they had was they used pictures of people when they were training to snipe versus targets. And he said, you know, the first time you've got a real person in your sight, it's you know, it's something, you know, and you hesitate. So, you know, with all these video games, I mean, they're shooting people's arms off and blood is gushing, and they're so realistic that it kind of numbs the kids to really killing people.
Yeah, possible. Eileen, what would you like to add about the crime? If you were on Tom Board, how would you handle that? I'm going to have to mute him. Eileen, are you still there?
Oh, I'm still here. It was cracking up. I didn't hear
okay.
My name.
What would you like to add about the crime and the gentleman's concern?
Yeah, I agree with many of what they say. But, you know, sometimes you just walk around. It's amazing how many kids are polite. They're generous. They open doors. They smile at you. You know, I expect to be afraid every time I go out. But there are many, many people out there, you know, that are kind, generous, and to the point. But at the same time, maybe the school just needs that few extra minutes to look the child in the eye and talk to them and make them know you're safe here, you know? About all I can, you know, at this point, think.
Yeah. Oh, well, thank you for answering that. Can you put her on mute?
Yeah.
And then our other Michael, how would you like to address that? Obviously, we know there's not just crime going on in Cheektowaga, but all of Erie County, all of New York State, and the way that they're handling with bail reform isn't exactly pristine. So how would you like to, what would you like to add about that?
Sure. I agree with Michael that it cannot be a reactive approach. Of course, we need that to temporarily put bandages on situations. So the last thing we need to do is defend law enforcement. But this problem didn't come up overnight, and it's not going to be solved overnight. For decades, you know, ethics have not been taught in schools. Morals haven't been taught. And, of course, people who are so averse to even the thought of religious values, which has been the core of whatever civilization, it need not be Western civilization with its Judeo-Christian tradition, but all world religions have the sense of right and wrong and acknowledgement of truth, of how we should behave, how we should conduct ourselves. And, you know, the percentage of people who are incarcerated who were not brought up with a father are, you know, the point is a stable home environment is the ideal environment. With two loving parents. I know this sounds idealistic, and of course there are wonderful single parents due to unfortunate situations that, you know, they've been wonderful parents and their children have grown up to be decent role model children. That's not to criticize that. It's just a matter of pointing out when you have teenagers that aren't instilled with moral values, and then they go and engage in marriage outside of sex outside of marriage, and then children are giving birth to children. You know, when you have 15, 16-year-old moms birthing children over the course of a couple generations, you just lack that stable family environment. So, you know, what a practical solution is working with some of the church leaders in the community, reaching out to some of these pastors who are involved in their communities, who probably know members of their community better than elected officials do, and so what kind of youth programs can we have? You know, instead of kids just congregating at street corners and being idle, I myself teach chess. It's a wonderful game of chess. It promotes discipline, focus,
a sense of thinking, creative thinking, and so forth. And plus the kids do better on math scores in school when they know how to play chess. That's just one example. Whether it be any kind of sports that they're involved in or other activities, instead of them just being so addicted to their phones and all the stuff that's on the telephone. So from a practical solution, you know, there is taxpayer money available. We have to be fiscally responsible, and let's see where we can divert some of these funds to programs perhaps that foster greater participation among our youth. But I really think, as I said earlier, not only are elected officials supposed to be leaders, but also they can be inspirers to other people in our community who are connected to our youth. And that's just one example, working with pastors, a lot of them in the local churches. That's my minute and a half answer and contribution.
It's actually a really good answer.
Yeah, I think a lot of the problem is where inflation has eroded the family. That's what I call it. I'm kind of old. When I was young, you know, dad worked, mom stayed at home with the kids. So, you know, yeah, she had a break while we were in school, but then, you know, she was home at 3 o'clock when we got home. And, you know, we had two cars, we had a decent house. And part of the problem now is that it takes two incomes to have the same mm-hmm. lifestyle that we did in the 60s and 70s with one income. So, you know, Hillary Clinton's "It Takes a Village to Raise a Kid" is, by the time you look at the 6-7 hours they spend in school, then the after-school programs, you know, where the after-school babysitting until mom and dad gets off of work and picks them up, you know, yeah, the kids are more in school or, you know, in the influence of the village than they are their family.
Mm-hmm. And I just want to just say a side note that his mother didn't get a break. When they were at school, she was cooking, cleaning, shopping, taking care of her own doctor's appointments, stuff like that. She didn't get a break. I just want to say that to all the at-home moms out there, I support you 100%.
Well, and she was sewing patches on our knees and, you know, on our butts and stuff like that where we were wearing out our jeans.
Oh, boy. Okay. Well, thankfully we don't have to go there.
Yeah.
So, because we're getting close to TikTok time, actually not TikTok, we don't do TikTok, but to wrap up the show, I want each of you to add something. If you wanted the listeners to take away one thing from tonight's show about the Cheektowaga Republican Committee, what would it be? Eileen, why don't you go first?
Oh, wait a minute.
I think what
unmute.
It would be is, oh, I'm sorry.
There you go. Go ahead.
I think that what I would take away from our committee is we have everyone is a decent human being. Everyone is already thinking of ways we can help the community, not just politically, but also get our hands dirty, get in there and find things out. It's really amazing. I am so glad to be part of this. And one of my projects was the Senior Center. I want to see if there's ways I can get more training for kids to go into trades and that. That's my next project I'm going to be working on. So it's really a great committee and a great, you know, organization.
Okay.
Thank you, Eileen.
Very good. Mike,
you're
Kaczynski,
welcome.
Go ahead. Mike Kaczynski, go ahead.
Still there, Mike?
Did we lose him?
No, he's right here.
Okay, so I'm not sure what's going on there. So how about the other Michael? What would you like to take away for tonight's show?
Well, your question was just commenting on the Cheektowaga Republican Committee, and I think it had been dormant for a number of years, and I think its reemergence is reflective of citizens' desires to see some significant change in their community. And again, getting back to it, we need to use the term common sense. You know, what do we want? People want to have their neighborhood safe. They want to have an affordable cost of living, you know, particularly the seniors. I mean, we talked about this already, how we have seniors who have paid off their homes decades ago, but yet they're on fixed incomes. They can hardly afford the tax assessment. Anyway, getting back to the original question, why has it become so popular, the Republican committee? Because simply it's filling a need that people are longing for. I do want to piggyback on something that was referred to. Talk about that 1958 article about how communism can infiltrate America. And again, I can't emphasize enough, we have to be concerned about this at every level of government, and we need to get conservative-minded, traditional value-minded people in at every level of government. Do you folks remember Archbishop Fulton Sheen and his syndicated show?
Yes.
Yes, okay. You know, in his words of wisdom, he described communism as a vulture that can only feed on decayed material. So when our civilization is strong, when we have strong families, when we have ethics and morals and civilization, communism doesn't stand a chance. But when those values have been eroded, and methodically and systematically, as they have through the infiltration of our school system, through the attack on religion, through the attack on a number of things, you know, there's a void, and that's where communism can – and when I say communism, I mean this progressivism, socialism, neo-Marxism, whatever you want to call it. It's the same – it comes from the same, ideology. Then and only then can it rear its ugly head and assert itself. So that's why we need a return to that. It's not a longing of nostalgia. It's a return to some practical, just practical living. And doing what makes society work so we can prosper, we can be safe, and just live in a thriving community that we're supposed to be. So I think the Chickawauga Republican Committee embodies that, and I'm so proud to be part of it and working with such a great team that we have.
Very good.
Mike Janinski, don't you guys have a couple of fundraisers coming up that we should let our listeners know about?
I had one last night.
Oh. Yes, the committee had one last night. It was a nice success. I personally have one coming up on June 13th at the Buffalo Airport Hotel. Let's see, how can we get that message out? It's from 5:30 to 7:30, Buffalo Airport Hotel. It's we just need to raise some funds so we can produce campaign literature because it's about name recognition as well. Many of the fine folks in our town and my 7th legislative district might not be aware of some of the candidates running. Some of them may not be aware of the current office holders, and we just need to get the message out that, you know, what has your current town board member, what has your current town county legislator done for you and for your community? Well, they might not know because, frankly, a lot of them may not have done much. So we need to just bring awareness through different literature, through and, of course, walking door-to-door So we really appreciate if people can contribute to our fundraising attempt. So June 13th, that's Tuesday, that's my event, Michael Zahavich for Erie County Legislator. Thank you.
Okay. You know what? It was so great having you guys on again. You can listen to all of our podcasts on Apple, Freedomizer Radio, blogtalkradio.com, and on iHeartRadio. So we'll be sure once this link is ready tomorrow that we'll send it all to you so you guys can share it out. Thanks again for being on. Don't forget to tune in next week. We have on the New York Citizens Audit again. This show is going to be huge. All of the information that they're going to update on us about election fraud. And the next following week we have on Diane Sayre. And we're booked until the middle of July. So check out our Facebook page. You can see the upcoming and we appreciate you all tuning in. D&D, delivering the truth in New York State and beyond. Everybody have a good week. Be good to each other.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
All right. Have a good night, all. Thanks again, guys. See you later.